This is WJOI's Lamplighter Program. I'm Howard Gunning, and today we're going to continue our conversation with Bill Hyde, the executive producer of Heirloom Audio, about their new video called The Lost Secrets of Memorial Day.
They're just billiard balls hitting off each other in a meaningless way. So for the same thing we cover if you're a pantheist, if we say if all is one, if you really believe that all is one, John Lennon would say all is one, right? If you believe all is one, you can't make distinctions. So you're not going to make distinctions about soldiers and loved ones. You're not going to make distinctions about time and history. If you're going to remain consistent. Now, most of these folks, whether they're materialists or whether they're pantheists, whatever, they're not going to remain consistent. They're going to go into the world of Christianity, and they're going to borrow a worldview from Christianity, and they're going to cut and paste. But they're not going to take it hook, line, and sinker. They're just going to cut and paste it. But they have to leave their world and go in and get some other material and bring it into their world for the sake of the discussion. So I'm just trying to get people to be consistent in their thinking.
Sure. So what's the best way we could use Memorial Day to help shape a better Christian worldview in our kids?
That's a really good question, because I think, as I said before, one of the things that we try to do is maybe outsource these ideas to, you know, people on TV or radio or whatever. We let talking heads kind of do their thinking for us, and we just sort of regurgitate their ideas to our friends at the water cooler or at McDonald's with a coffee or whatever. But the way to do this is, if you want your kids excited about it, you got to get it excited yourself. And I compare it a little bit to smoking, right? If you smoke and you tell your kids not to smoke, your kids are going to smoke, because what you do becomes a paradigm for them, not what you say. So the same thing is true for Memorial Day. The same thing is true for history. The same thing is true for respecting the flag and respecting the dead. If you don't do it, if you sit on the couch, if you treat Memorial Day as a day that where coupons come in to get a sale on something, imagine the world we live in, Howard.
Yeah.
Where more people see Memorial Day, they get sales offers. They see it more in that sense than they do the reality of it. So we're like five layers out on this, right? We're way, way, way off base. I'm not against people buying things, of course. I'm not against discounts or business. I've got a business, a couple of them. But I just think we got to get back to these essentials and these foundations that really did create American exceptionalism. And I think we've got to get back to that. And I think if we do, there'll be a lot of blessings, both temporal as well as spiritual, that will come from that.
Yeah, and I think one of the disconnects is we don't have as many... We don't have as many people from our general population who serve in the military and have shared some of that sacrifice. So if you don't have some of those connections, the day doesn't mean as much to you.
I think so, too. Yeah, and when you join, and this is no respect to people that are joining. We've got great people in our service, and I would never say otherwise. However, when the world's threatened by Nazis or whatever, or the threat that they thought they had with the Kaiser, perhaps, you, in World War One, you look at things a little bit different, and it's not a career move, right? So I'm enjoying the service for a career. You joined it with this sense of urgency, and you had this huge monster. Hitler was a monster, right? And the Japanese were pretty tough guys, and so we had these huge monsters to slay, and it brought us all together. And there's a lot of movies that you can watch that are sort of old time, where they watch It's a Wonderful Life would be a good example, where you can kind of see this business of things coming together during wartime and how people kind of gave up on themselves. And they didn't do things just for themselves. They put their own lives to the side and they said, what's this greater good? I don't see as much of that today. You probably don't either. And so I think it's important to recall that that was once the fabric of American society.
Yeah. And it's so important to learn to, like I think you mentioned earlier, to learn how to maybe ask questions or tell the stories. I remember one time my father-in-law, Bob Shaney, was a medic in the 11th Airborne in World War II. But he never really talked much about it. But one day we were sitting in the farmhouse up in Iowa, and he got a splinter or something in his finger, and he was messing around with it. And finally, he just, like, forget it. And he says, forget it. And he walked back in the bedroom, and he came out of the bedroom with this tan canvas bag with a leather tie around it. And he untied it, and unfolded that bag, and then here were all these medical instruments. Well, I spent 21 years in the Air Force as a medic, and I had the same kit. I walked out to my car, brought in my green nylon kit.
Oh, wow,
straps,
that's cool.
Unfolded the instruments in front of him while he's messing with a splinter, and he looked down at those two sets of instruments side by side, and no kidding, they're all in exactly the same place. And so he looked at those instruments, he looked up at me, and he looked down at those instruments, and he looked up at me, and it's like suddenly he saw a connection, and he just started telling stories. And my wife was sitting around the corner in the other room. She'd never heard those stories before. And when we talked to her brother later, who was a career Army officer, he'd never heard those stories from his dad before. But that connection of just opening a bag and saying, hey, Bob, look at this. I've got the same instruments. Just kind of opened the floodgates for him.
That was the setup maybe that we were talking about before, and everybody would have their own version of that. But I will say this, that generation, they weren't necessarily braggarts. They were hard workers, and of course a lot of them grew up in the Depression.
Uh-huh.
So they weren't always out telling stories that glorified their careers or themselves. You know, it's kind of like Dick Butkus would never understand end zone dances, right, that a lot of football players have today. That
right.
He didn't celebrate. He celebrated maybe after the game, or in Butkus's case, or Ray Nitschke's case, you would celebrate if you won the championship at the end of the season. Otherwise, you just didn't do much jumping around, right? You just did your thing. You did what you were paid for.
Yeah, but, you know, speaking of stories, I hear that one of your relatives climbed up a 20-foot flagpole to rip down a Nazi flag, so... what's that story?
Yeah, well, this is actually one of my wife's. This is my wife's grandfather, who was a good friend of mine, and lived to be 93. Passed away a few years ago, and he worked with Patton, and he was on the move as they went through Germany, and they had kind of cleaned up a lot, and they were right next to the Czechoslovakian border, and they're just you might recognize this, but the V1 rockets that they had, they were making
right.
those out of plywood. And the Nazis had this huge plywood factory in this town in Germany. And they, you know, there was still a lot of German soldiers running around thinking they were the master race and thinking that Hitler might make a comeback or something, you know. And so there was cleanup, but it was still crazy. People running around shooting each other as they were trying to do this mop-up work, and they didn't have it totally contained. So my wife's grandfather, who, by the way, was the smallest officer in World War II, he went up on top of this huge building and where they made the V1s, and he climbed up this 20-foot flagpole while people were shooting at him and took just so he could take the Nazi flag down because he so despised bigots and racists and people that thought that way. And he was willing to risk his life just to take that down. No, he gave me the flag. Mm. I had the flag in my basement. And it really stands as a testimony to, you know, what we've been talking about. Some people are just willing to pay a price. Now, more interesting maybe than that, and that's a kind of a cool story, but one of his great-greats, perhaps great-great-greats, his name was Warren Parker. His great family was a man named John Parker.
Uh-huh.
And John Parker, Captain John Parker, was the officer that fired the shot that was heard around the world.
Oh,
so
really?
When the War for Independence, that was the same. That's my wife's family. And so there's a lot of history in that family. And, you know, they were willing to take chances. They were willing to put their money where their mouth was, money meaning their life, you know, and their honor and all the things that they said. It wasn't talk. Today there's so much talk. It wasn't talk. It was just people backing things up with their actions.
Their actions, yes. Yeah.
It's a very strong statement, you know, when someone's like Teddy Roosevelt said, when they got that stick and they're willing to pick it out and use it, you know, kids understand that instinctively, you know, they know a parent, when a parent means business and when a parent doesn't mean business. And so their behavior tends to... go along with whatever mood the parents in. But yeah, it was a fabulous generation of people in World War II. And as you mentioned, your story is an amazing story there. But you know, and that's what this video is about, is just paying tribute to people. But but inside this greater context. My fear is if you just say, my country, right or wrong, you potentially could fall into the situation that the Nazis did have, right?
Yeah.
And so you really have to have a plumb line by which you can judge not only yourself, your family's ethical behavior, but you need a plumb line by which to judge your country's ethical behavior. Now, many soldiers have no, they're not involved in the decisions made by politicians, and so you can say I really wasn't for that war, but I would, you know, we all have to kind of show respect for those that have fallen and those that have served, because it's not their gig of deciding. It's like the Light Brigade poem, right? It's not the reason why, right? It's just you're a soldier. And that's what you do. You do what you're told.
Yeah.
And
well, we're talking today with Bill Hyde from Heirloom Audio about the new video they've put out, The Lost Secrets of Memorial Day. And you can go see that at thelostsecretsofmemorialday.com.
And this has been WJOI's Lamplighter Program. I'm Howard Gunning. Thank you for making us a part of your day.